ghosts, hauntings, UFOs, Bigfoot, aliens, shadow people, vampires, werewolves, demons. Blurring the line between the normal and the paranormal, Harrisburg Area Paranormal Society presents The Blurred Line. Here are your hosts, Sue Shinsky, John Curley, and Matt Haas.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Blurred Line. I am Sue Shinsky, and I have two special co-hosts this evening because one of my co-hosts has the stomach flu, and the other one is in a car in Maryland away from his computer. So welcome, Big D and Jake.
Yeah!
Nice to be here, Sue. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys. It's kind of an impromptu evening. I like those.
Yes, I felt kind of compelled to come by and help you tonight when I heard there was a woman in distress. Not to mention that you've come over and helped me out on my podcast many times.
So. Oh, well.
A woman in distress, D. Of course, you would do anything for a woman in distress.
He would. That's a right. Damsel. A damsel.
I'm from the South, man.
Well, I am very excited to have Mark Snyder back on the show because I really like hearing his thoughts about, aliens and UFOs and extraterrestrials. I don't know. I always feel weird using the word alien. But I first wanted to start. I'm sure everyone is knowledgeable about the missing flight 370 from Malaysia.
Not particularly.
Not really. And I'm sorry, Mark. Hello.
Hello.
I just kind of rolled right over the head.
It's okay. Keep rolling.
Keep rolling.
Rolling is good.
Well, I've been a little bit obsessed with flights for 370, and Jake, you're not aware of the missing plane that's been missing?
I'm obviously aware that a plane went missing, but I'm not so up on the details.
Oh, well, long story short.
I'm not up on what they, think happened.
Well, they really don't know what happened, so it's a lot of conjecture at this point. The most plausible explanation is that it's in the ocean about 1,500 miles off the west coast of Australia, and it's in very rough water. It's probably one of the most remote areas of the earth. The water's rough. There's lots of storms. There's high waves. It's probably going to
take a lot of sharks.
I'm sure it's going to take a really long time. If it's even there, they're not even really sure. So they're going from satellite images that are almost 5 days old at this point.
Is it sunken, or was it still above water when they had taken the satellite images?
They saw some debris that was very large, but I also saw this evening that it could have been dolphins, from a large distance away. It could have been dolphins, but you never know. Nobody knows what's going on. Mark, what are your thoughts?
Well, I got to be honest, I haven't really followed this. Is this being covered on mainstream media a lot?
It is.
I always wonder when something, is it being repeated over and over and over again?
Over and over and over again.
That's one of the signs of mainstream media, when they're trying to inculcate the public with a certain point of view, or they're trying to distract us from something that's important.
It's interesting that you say that, because I had talked to my husband about this, and I said, this could be a wild theory, and, if this were truly the issue, I think something else would have happened, or maybe we just don't know about it. But this whole thing just seems to be a distraction for something else.
Is it like it's not going anywhere?
Oh, yeah, it's totally not going anywhere. It's the same stuff over and over and over again.
Yeah, that sounds like the mainstream media.
Yeah.
We get a lot. Britney Spears and Miley Cyrus and Kim Kardashian, and it's over and over and over again. And it just, it's part of, there's a good movie coming out, or it's already out. I haven't seen it yet. It's called Elysium.
Oh, okay, yes.
I actually have seen that, yeah.
What did you think of that movie?
I like the concept of the movie. You know what I mean? And I liked parts of it. I mean, I think it was Matt Damon who was the main character. Mm-hmm. And, I liked the idea of it. But compared, and I'm kind of a sci-fi nerd, so to speak, So compared to some other sci-fi movies, it wasn't my favorite. But, you know, I mean, it was interesting in its own right.
Sometimes I think the Illuminati, they create these movies in order to tell the public what's coming up.
Oh.
Or what they intend. Just my thoughts.
Oh, no, that's an interesting thought. And now I'm remembering the plot of the movie. And it seems very interesting.
Go ahead. Elysium was an interesting movie, I think, in the sense that that you know, all of these rich people kind of lived in the sphere in space, right? Or in this, you know, rotating... Yeah.
They were away from the rest
of
the world.
Habitable spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And all the poor people lived on Earth. So, you know, is it sci-fi that's pulling from current themes? Is it sci-fi that's pulling from, you know, the potentiality of what could to come, you know, or what could come? I'm not sure, you know. It's, you know, it could, there could be a lot of conjecture, so.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the... Sorry, Sue.
Oh, no, please go.
One of the interesting themes in that movie is the main character, when he strikes back at the people, you know, that are in the perfect environment up in the sphere orbiting the Earth, is they merge him with this machine-like structure, like an exoskeleton.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, so that he can, you know, withstand certain impacts and things like that, yeah.
Right, and I think that's part of the direction that the Illuminati are taking. They want to merge us with machines, and they want to get rid of the middle class, hollow out the middle class, create a feudal society where it's the very rich, and then all the rest of the people, which are very poor. And did you notice that they used robots as policemen?
I did. I think so. I haven't seen it in several months, but
I've only seen the, you know, the little trailers and stuff. But see, these are reoccurring themes in some of these movies, and I think they for some reason Illuminati like to tell us what they're going to do to us or what they want to do to us. anyway, that's my take.
I don't use the term Illuminati. I just use the term the global elite. You know, the global power structure is what, you know.
I like that term. I like that better. The global elite, yeah.
Well, I mean, because that's really what they are. They're the global elite. They are the richest. They are the most powerful. They are the, you know, heads of state. They're the multi-billionaires. They're the
makers.
You know, captains of industry and so on and so forth. I mean, they are the global elite. They are the, you know, kings and queens of today, of, you know, of what they were in the 15th century, you know, so.
There's a great movie you should see. It's on YouTube. It's called A Globalist Agenda for a Dumbed Down Domesticated Society. It's by Alan Watt.
Yeah, I like Alan Watt. He's interesting. Alan Watts, or are we talking about, or Alan Watt?
Alan Watt. He says that Zbigniew Brzezinski, the National Security Advisor, when President Carter was in office, stated that shortly the public would be unable to think and reason for themselves. And eventually he said that the public would expect the media to do all their thinking and reasoning for them.
Hmm.
Is he cutting through the matrix? Is that who he is?
Is that another movie?
No. I believe that's his website. I thought you were talking about Alan Watts, the philosopher. Sorry.
I should probably Alan Watt is on Alex Jones sometime.
Okay, yeah, I don't really listen to Alex Jones regularly, so I just pick up on YouTube clips and stuff, you know, from him.
Right. Another couple of movies you might find interesting are The Dumbing Down of America.
I have heard of that one.
Yeah, that one I have heard of as well.
And let me tell you guys something. You guys will appreciate this, because one of the topics, besides the Billy Meyer information, that I like to cover a lot on my shows is Fukushima.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've been doing is just striking a casual conversation with people at work and at other places I go, and I just ask them if they've been keeping up with Fukushima. And the vast majority of them, I think I've talked to 23 people, only 3 people knew what Fukushima was.
Really?
Really. And when I explain it to them, I always put it like this as a way to wake them up. I say, Fukushima is probably the greatest disaster in recorded history. We've had three nuclear reactors in full meltdown for 3 years in Japan. And they're like, exactly. They have no idea.
That's wild.
Wow.
I mean, because I have to admit, it has really fallen off the radar as far as news is concerned. Because,
isn't that interesting?
Right now, listening to the news, it's volleyball between the Ukraine and Flight 370.
In the meantime, nuclear Armageddon is going on.
Right.
You know, we've got starfish turning into goo. We've got the bluefin tuna in Japan are so highly radiated, you just really shouldn't eat them at all.
Right.
We've got the sardines have completely died off in the Pacific Ocean. The whole sardine industry has gone belly up. They're not hearing the whales make their calls. And there's thoughts that, you know, we're going to see whale die-offs. There are doctors in Japan now that are telling people they really ought to evacuate Tokyo.
Really?
Yes, it's that bad. I mean, think about it. We've never had a nuclear reactor go China syndrome. They were able to build a structure under Chernobyl, and then they poured boron on it, and then they build a concrete structure on top. So they stopped the China syndrome with it melting through the earth, mm-hmm. and then they covered it up. All they've been doing for 3 years at Fukushima, three nuclear reactors in meltdown, they're just pouring water on it because they don't know what else to do. They don't know how far the liquid corium has melted down. They know it's gone through the zirconium alloy and the fuel rods, and it's melted through the steel containment vessel. They all think it's melted through the concrete of the outer building, and they're just pouring water on it, and then they pump that radioactive water out of there, and they're putting it into these tanks they're building, mm-hmm. and they've built over 2,000 of these tanks all around this nuclear reactor that are filled with radioactive water.
Yeah.
It's a ghastly thing that's happened over there, and isn't it strange? The mainstream media doesn't even talk about it.
Well, it's not so strange to me. I know, Jake, you and I had spoken about this before, with all of the gag orders
right.
that the Japanese have placed on their citizens, is anybody able to really report about it?
I think it's illegal. From what I've heard, is that what you guys
yeah.
have heard?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've heard a journalist can go up to jail for 10 years for talking about Fukushima.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not surprising to me at all.
It's ghastly, though. I mean, have you had talk to any of your friends that aren't in the alternative community, so to speak, about all the losses of our freedoms?
I've talked to a few that feel that way, but the majority of people that I deal with on a day-to-day basis don't really talk about that kind of thing.
The absolute fact is that, you know, the whole time that people were talking about, the Second Amendment, you know, and the folks I hang out with, we were all trying to tell people, look, they're coming after your First Amendment.
Right.
They've already taken the Fourth.
Right. Why don't you elaborate on that, how they've taken the Fourth Amendment away?
Oh, you can't. Yeah, look at just all you have to do to elaborate on is go to the airport, go to a bus station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the half of what they do there is by constitutional law illegal. But nobody wants to take it on because of how the average person can't fight it because look how much money. I mean, we're talking about a government who has an unlimited resource of attorneys.
Exactly.
You would have to be Bill Gates in order to even come close to being able to fight him.
Right.
So.
And what about the NDAA where they can indefinitely detain you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go back to, you know, a lot of things changed in this world, Mark, when they passed, what was the name of it, where they essentially made the United States now as a theater of war.
Is that the Patriot Act? Or
No. This is Protect America or something like that. But I think it was last year, they passed it that the United States is now a theater of war.
That's amazing.
So once that is done, think about it. You know what posse comitatus is, right?
That's where the military is not supposed to be used as a police force inside the United
States. Yeah, well, let me go ahead and define that. The Army and the Navy were designated as not being able to.
Oh.
But the Air Force and the Marine Corps went ahead and said, we'll abide by it also. But posse comitatus now is null and void because our military is authorized to operate in any theater of war. Hmm. And a lot of people don't realize that that's happened.
Well, we've also got the government has bought how many billions of bullets now?
Yeah, the hollow points.
Yeah.
A lot of target practice going on in there.
Mm-hmm. How many thousands of these armored vehicles?
Oh, and yeah, people are going crazy about, I mean, how is it that police departments suddenly have a need for an armed armor, combat armored Humvee?
I know, it's so ridiculous.
Look at tactical squads now. They're wearing military-grade Kevlar.
My God.
Well, if they were going into certain areas of Philadelphia, they might need that in my area. So,
well, certain areas, hey, they bombed it once. They might as well do it again.
Hey, I have a clip here on the banker suicides, and I think let me play just a few seconds of it, and you can tell me if it's too loud or if you can hear it.
Sure.
And I'd like to get you guys to comment on it. You guys have heard about all the banker suicides.
Yes, and I'm intrigued.
Yeah, recently I've been hearing about that.
I don't know much about it, but I'm intrigued by it.
Well, this will start all of a sudden, but I'll start talking about it. One of the guys, quote unquote, committed suicide with a nail gun. Mm. Here you go. Too quiet?
Nope. Well, yet another banker has died under mysterious circumstances. It'll be the seventh in just under a month. So do these mysterious banker deaths point to a looming financial crisis or something more sinister, like a methodical silencing of anyone who could potentially blow the whistle on financial fraud? Well, today I'm going to be speaking with Doug Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman radio show. He's a 30-year multi-state licensed private investigator, and you can read his articles on HomelandSecurityUS.com. And today I'm going to be speaking with him about his most recent article exposing what lies beneath the bodies of dead bankers and what lies ahead for us. Thank you for joining us, Doug.
Thank you for having me.
So can you just sort of recap some of these banker deaths and tie in how they're all related?
Not a problem. What we've seen here of late, beginning in the first part of the year, is it began with the disappearance of a reporter working for the Wall Street Journal at the Dow Jones desk. And now this gentleman went out for a walk on a Saturday. He disappeared without a trace. They still have not found him yet. Of course, he's a recipient of a liver transplant and is in need of medication. His family has had no contact. So this gentleman's been missing for over a month. Then we move right into a number of people who are interrelated in the financial industry. You've got Tim Dickinson, the UK-based communications director at Swiss Re AG. You've got William Brokesmith. You've got Carl Slim, Gabriel McGee, and others, all of whom are related to or have some associated with these various large central banks. It seems to focus, or at least the epicenter of all this, appears to be J.P. Morgan.
Anyway, one of these guys committed suicide with a nail gun, allegedly. Hmm. Shot himself in the torso with a nail gun, shot himself in the neck and in the head with a nail gun. Now, that sounds like murder to me. That doesn't sound like a suicide. No. What do you guys think?
That's curious.
I can tell you probably, well, we can pretty much justify that the one in the torso was first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just say, suicide by nail gun, that doesn't sound like a very practical
idea.
I mean, and I just want to throw that out there, like there are many practical ways to suicide, okay? Right. And shooting yourself with a nail gun is just not one. I mean, it is one of the most impractical methods.
Well, here I've got a razor.
I possibly think of. No, I mean, I'm not kidding. Jumping off of your roof is a better option than shooting yourself with a nail gun.
Well, Mark,
even if you live in a rancher, you know, with an 8-foot drop, I mean, hell, you might break your neck.
You just get up and throw yourself out again.
Right. Exactly.
until it takes.
I mean, look, these people are millionaires, don't they own guns?
Good point.
You shoot yourself with a nail gun? Like you're telling me that you couldn't afford, you know, a several thousand dollar handgun, you know, to polish off and say, okay, this is nice, goodbye, you know. It's ridiculous.
I wonder what they knew that someone else didn't want them to talk about.
Actually,
if these people really wanted to kill themselves, they would have found a much more efficient and painless method.
True.
Because you have to think about it. Like if they knew something and they killed themselves because out of guilt or out of this or out of that, I mean, it was probably premeditated to a certain degree.
Oh yeah, they were murdered. They were obviously murdered.
So these people were thinking about, you know, I mean, if you're contemplating suicide and you have information and you think that people are going to come down on you or you're going to lose your job, and this is a, you know, several month process, you're going to contemplate how you're going to kill yourself.
It's always going to be premeditated, and you would typically leave some sort of
note
token
or
of your guilt. You would let people know why you've done it. So
right, and not only on top of that, but you would probably try to do it in a clean method, or where they're going to just, you know, discover the body quickly, like hanging yourself from your lamp or from, you know, the ceiling fan, or, you know, cutting off oxygen to your brain or something like that. You know, I mean, you know, what somebody, you know, again, the nail gun thing. That sounds just weird. I mean, he's either an idiot he was an idiot, you know, or something fishy is going on.
So what is proposed to be the reason for all these suicides, quote unquote?
I don't know. It could be that there is some financial calamity that's coming, mm-hmm. and these bankers were going to speak out before the calamity and maybe point the finger at the guilty parties. I'm speculating here. I don't know. That's why I threw it out to you guys.
Yeah. Well, the thing is you can look at it in two ways. You could look at it in self-interest or in greed, right? And you could say, well, maybe they were getting, you know, greedy and they were going to lose money, or perhaps they, you know, mess with the wrong person or this, that, and the other. But, you know, then you look at the flip side of that and you say, well, maybe they knew too much, and you sort of weigh it in your mind, and you weigh how these institutions work versus the way, versus the latter, and, you know, the former. And really, you end up sort of erring on the side of maybe they knew something that they shouldn't have, or that they didn't, or that they weren't supposed to know, or that they knew too much.
There's actually been 12. The last was about a week and a half ago in Manhattan.
You know, I think one of them was a J.P. Morgan executive or a J.P. Morgan trader. But I mean, these are guys. I think two of the ones that killed themselves recently, they were the guys that sat there and like watched all of the trades go through.
Yeah.
And they both. They must have had a connection to one another because, you know, they worked at similar desks. So, you know, maybe they both saw similar information and just said, well, you know, that's it, you know.
Okay, all right, let me jump in here. Mark, like I said, I've just recently been hearing about this.
Mm-hmm.
We've had 12 die in how long?
Oh, about a month or two, I think.
Okay. One, two die over the course of a month, we call that a tragedy. Three or four die in a month, we say, meh, it could be a coincidence. You have 12 die in 4 to 6 weeks, things that make you go, what the hell is going on?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, as a paramedic, I can tell you, nail gun injury to the torso is going to be painful.
It's going to hurt a lot.
It is.
And one to the neck may not kill you, but it's going to make you want the one to the head.
Exactly.
So, you know, when you tell me somebody shot themselves in the torso, then shot themselves in the neck, then shot themselves in the head, I've been around enough police investigations, and I've worked enough EMS calls with the cops. That sounds like somebody was looking for something.
Right.
Information. Somebody was looking for information, or something of that nature.
And it's all over the world that this is happening.
But
yeah, it's not localized to the U.S. I mean, this is happening everywhere. Like I said, there was one in London. I think another one maybe in Germany. I'm not sure.
Well, like I said, when you start looking at multinational banks, which I think most of these guys work for, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, we're not talking like this was the guy that run the local bank in your town.
No, this is not, you know, the owner
of this is multinational, if I was reading the articles right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it definitely. It sounds like some, it very possibly could be somebody tying up loose ends.
Yeah, and it says the recent, in this article that I'm reading, which is on RT.com, it says, sorry, I just scrolled up. The recent string of suicides began in January when Deutsche Bank AG William Brokschmidt, 58, was found hanged in his home on January 26th after reportedly committing suicide. Two JP Morgan employees are also believed to have taken their own lives after falling from buildings in London and Hong Kong. Autumn Radke, the CEO of the digital currency exchange firm First Meta, was also found dead outside her apartment in Singapore earlier this month.
I personally, if I was going to commit suicide, I also would not jump off a building.
No, I was just sitting here thinking about that. Way too much time to realize I might have made a mistake.
Exactly. You're going to be wishing you did it, didn't do it on the way down, I'm sure.
Right. You're like, wait a minute, can we stop this?
You just have to remember, just keep telling yourself, I'll never feel it.
Yeah, right.
Enjoy the adrenaline as you drop.
Do we really have to digress into the sensations of suicide?
No.
Must you bring my mind to such?
I mean, let's do something. Be creative. Put meat in your pocket and throw yourself in with an alligator.
No, thanks. I don't have any desire to die, self-inflicted or otherwise.
Chum the waters off the Great Barrier Reef.
There you go. No, I couldn't commit suicide either because I just got to stick around and find out what happens next.
Yeah, boy, there's a lot to wonder about, too.
Yeah, but no, get seriously with these bankers. You know, like I said, you get one or two in this time frame, you say, well, you know, it's coincidence. But when you start having 12 prominent bank officials.
12 in less than 3 months.
In less than 3 months. I mean, we're talking almost one a week here.
See, I have a guest on my show. His name is Olli Damgaard, and he was originally from Sweden, and he started investigating the apparent suicide, quote-unquote, of the Swedish prime minister, and he found out, of course, it was an assassination, and then he was worried about his own life, so he moved him and his family out of Sweden into Spain, and he's written this giant book on what he calls Operation 40, I believe. He says Eisenhower, who I think was one of the good guys, really started this assassination squad, and it kind of got out of control, and it's still operating today. Oh. And so the global elite, they use these assassins all over the world, and they not only kill bankers and world leaders, but they kill musicians, and they kill people in the entertainment industry. They kill anyone that may bring peace or unity to the world.
So Randy Quaid was right?
Do what?
Randy Quaid was right?
I don't know anything about him.
Oh, he's Dennis Quaid's brother. He was talking about people killing people in the entertainment industry.
Well, look at how Whitney Houston died.
Yeah.
She overdosed and drowned in the bathtub, allegedly.
You know what? Hold on. Just for a reference point, there was a podcast I was listening to. Are you familiar with Joey Diaz at all, Mark?
No.
Or how about Joe Rogan?
Oh, yeah. I like Joe Rogan, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Joe Rogan at one point had Joey Diaz on his podcast, and I think Whitney Houston did Per Diem, right?
I don't know that much about it, other than, according to Olli Damgaard, he was pretty certain that it was a suicide. In fact, her daughter, the day before, almost died the same way. And he thought that maybe they accidentally almost killed his daughter, her daughter instead. So, you know, I don't know. Again, I don't know for sure. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think it was Whitney Houston, who she was hanging out with, like, Bobby Brown. Mm-hmm. And her and Bobby Brown and Joey Diaz talked about this on the Joe Rogan show, and I'm going to tell this, I'm going to paraphrase this very badly, but like even back in the 80s, you know, and so forth, she had a big blow problem. I mean, a huge cocaine problem.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, every day, you know, she used to go to this guy and, you know, basically give him her per diem money, which is, you know, her daily money. Wow. To go get coke, her and, you know, a few other celebrities or whatever with the driver. And, I mean, her, I can understand as a suicide. Some others I'm a little more skeptical about.
John Lennon or Bob Marley?
Yeah, see, people like that I'm more skeptical about. You know, John Lennon was shot.
Right.
You know, Bob Marley, the same thing was for him.
See, here's the thing. It's, and I'll just say this, how I know this is a whole other story. If somebody has a drug problem, a drinking problem, it's easy to cover it up with as a suicide or mm-hmm. as an accidental death.
No, you are right about that as well.
If somebody, you know, that's why all the rumors about James Dean, he loved to drive fast cars. How did he die? In a fast car.
Just like Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, there's always something in somebody's life that you can, a lot of times, you can cover. You've got a priest that's always going to the bad side of town. One day they find him, he's dead. He's shot, stabbed, beat up, beaten to death or something. But he's in the bad side of town. I mean, I'm just using that as an example.
A good example. I like that example.
No, because actually, there, you know, if you believe the story, you know, and if you know, and if you read into it, I believe many of the people who were involved. I don't know if you're aware of this, Mark, in liberation theology.
No, I'm not aware of that.
In South America, many of them were Jesuit priests, and they were, I believe, they were killed by El Salvadorian forces. Like they broke into their, not into their monastery, but into their, you know, into their scola. And shot, I think, about 7 or 8 of them. I think I'm not 100% sure on that, but a lot of them died under very suspicious circumstances.
But let me ask you a question, Mark. There's just so much weird crap going on in the world. Would it be feasible to say that you know, we're starting to hear threats more now than we have in a long time of throwing nuclear warheads out?
Oh yeah.
You know, Ukraine started it. India has been threatening it. Iran's been threatening it. You know, I haven't really kept up with anything on it, but does it seem to you, or is it maybe just me, that like somebody's behind the scenes pushing, hey, let's nuke somebody?
Well, I have a clip. Segue into this next clip. Hopefully it'll be a little clearer and louder than the other one, but I have potentially two clips about this. Let's listen to the first one. This is Joel Skousen, and he's a person that says World War III is being prepared for, planned on, and is part of the global elite's plan. So let me see if you guys can hear this one okay.
I'll tell you, what's the time frame, do you think? 5 to 10 years till they try this World War III thing?
As I say, I don't think it's coming before 2020. Now, as you get closer to that, I mean, you can't hold me to that because they could take an opportunity to move forward. But I think we've still got a good 5 years to fight this battle.
And you're saying we see North Korea start shelling Seoul, get out of major cities.
That's right, because that's going to be the trigger event of World War III. There has to be some reason why they treat North Korea with kid gloves, that they don't ever have a military option for taking them down, a regime change. They know North Korea is going to be the trigger to start it. We may have to use tactical nuclear weapons to stop that kind of attack, and that will justify China and Russia for initiating a nuclear preemptive strike because we started with tactical nuclear weapons.
They have the PDDs in place where the sub-commanders and silo commanders can't fire back. They'll be totally destroyed.
That's right. You know, our sub and missile commanders believe that they're going to be given the orders to launch on warning when Russia and China launch against us, but I don't believe those orders are ever going to arrive.
And for those that don't know, until the PDDs got changed under Clinton and continued by Bush and Obama, if the missiles are tracking in, they have the authorization to defend. Now they've taken that away.
That's right. And they have told them in PDD 60, 1997, to prepare to retaliate after absorbing a nuclear first strike that don't depend on, they didn't actually tell them, you're not going to be able to launch. They just said, don't depend on it. Structure your system so that you can retaliate after absorbing a nuclear first strike. And General Butch Neal of the Marine Corps said, retaliate with what? He was just incensed. And and especially since in that same year, Clinton agreed with the Russians that we would keep 50% of our missile submarines in port, either in Kings Bay, Georgia, or Bangor, Washington, to make it easier for the Russians to target them because they were in port. I mean, this is just incredible, Alex.
Yep, and meanwhile, the media pushes 24/7 to demonize the Tea Party. That's the big threat, the Homeland Security says.
Anyway, guys, I'd love to hear you comment on that clip.
Can I jump in real quick?
Sure.
No. Please do.
No? No? Okay.
No,
right.
Please do.
It's my turn.
Please do. Well, before you start, where was that clip from?
That was from the Alex Jones Show.
Okay.
And the man speaking there was Joel Skousen. And he says that what they're planning to do, the global elite want the United States to be struck first with nuclear weapons from Russia and from China. That will pretty much wipe our military out. And the globalists will come in and say, look, we can save you from the Russian and the Chinese, but you'll have to pledge to be part of the New World Order. And when they do, when they say, yes, give us security, save us, they'll bring out their very, very advanced weapon systems that they've had for years. They'll wipe out the Chinese and the Russians, and then they'll have their New World Order.
Hmm.
That's what Joel Skousen. Go ahead, guys. That's what
well, it sounds like something that most people would go for, you know, save your own skin.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'd extend it as far as he would extend it, but about his comment about 50% of the ships, of the submarines being in port, I'm assuming he's talking about our Ohio-class nuclear submarines, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Well, I know, I believe there are at least three deployed in each ocean at any given time, submerged in, I believe, 72-day intervals, either 72 or 72 or 74-day intervals for the crew. Their nuclear core reactors can run for up to 2 years. They make very little noise. They're almost undetected. They're almost undetectable by sonar and radar. So the thing is that we have 18 of these Ohio-class submarines. Put 50% of them in port, you're down to 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means we still have 9 active submarines.
That's a good thing.
But here's the thing.
I guess.
Found out a little more about these Ohio-class submarines. Each Ohio-class submarine is equipped between 24 is equipped with between 24 and 26 Trident nuclear missiles, which have 12 nuclear warheads on them each. So the payload that these subs are carrying could you know, I mean, if one of these subs launched all of its missiles,
mm-hmm.
it could wipe out China. I mean, it could wipe China off the map. If the two other subs launched it, Eastern Russia and Western Russia, it would probably wipe them off the map because, I mean, they have the nuclear capability to literally destroy the world, and they're floating around, you know, very stealthily right now. I believe the USS Ohio is the one that's out all the time, but
that's the thing about Joel Skousen that seems very strange to me, that he believes that we will survive this nuclear war. I don't know.
That's the thing, is because even though we have 50% in port, that still leaves 9, and that's still more than every other country has active combined.
But I'm just wondering, if we take that first strike, I mean, Joel Skousen thinks, you know, there'll still be millions and millions of people that survive, but I don't know, the way I look at it is, gosh, do you want to survive in that kind of world?
I don't know that I would.
I mean, well, I do.
Potassium iodate is going to go through the roof because people are going to be reaching for that.
No, I want to because I want to be around to be. I mean, I hope my family gets called to a better life, but I want to stick around because if you think these clowns are going to wait and stick their head out of a hole and go, okay, we're going to save you now. All you have to do is listen to us. No, not happening.
Yeah.
I will take every ounce of training I have ever had and be a giant pain in their butt.
Well, there's how many hundreds of millions of gun owners are there in the United States? I don't know.
There's tons in Pennsylvania alone.
I'm telling you what, dude, when those folks start popping those preppers that people have been laughing at start popping their heads out, they're going to be upset.
I've got another clip I like, if it's okay, Sue.
Sure.
It's a short one. I won't play very long. It's a guy named Lyndon LaRouche. He's 80 years old, and he's also said the lead have been planning on this world war for a number of years now.
Let's listen.
But first off, you heard my little layout there of what I think's happening. Do you think that's accurate, A? And then B, expand on it. What are we facing here?
It needs a lot more. This is a much bigger thing. What you've focused on is, first of all, the perception of Ukrainians, which were involved in the events in proximate in that area, were Nazis. They were part of the Hitler operation in their lifetime. And these are children of the Nazis. We have to remember that there was a certain section of working for Hitler, which were part of the Hitler system. They killed a lot of Ukrainians themselves, but they also killed a lot of Poles. The assassinations of Poles under Hitler were done largely by these particular Ukrainians who were part of a Nazi system. If you look at their costumes that they wear at home, the costumes of those are Nazi insignia. Their origin is Nazi. And so what you have is you have the United States government now is actually supporting these Nazis. And Newland is one of the key supporters of these Nazis. They are still Nazis. Their record of killing Poles during World War II is enormous. This is the same people. They wear the same costumes, the same insignia, the same legacy.
And by the way, you were in World War II. I should also add that. It's amazing how long you've been speaking out. It's just amazing. And I know that is a part of the right-wing group being funded by the CIA. You are correct, sir. And they're trying to split between Catholic and then, of course, Orthodox is more pro-Russia. But what's the big geopolitical and why is this such a serious situation?
Because it has nothing to do with Syria as such or things like that. These are byproducts of a much larger scheme of things. What we're on the verge of is World War III, thermonuclear World War III. And that's the big problem we have to try to defeat. Now, there are other problems that come in as subsidiary features of this problem. But as far as I'm concerned, as long as Obama remains president, we're in danger of being involved in a matter of, you know, a few weeks or days of thermonuclear war globally. That's where we are. And, you know, my interest here on this is partly just inside the United States itself. This presidency is destroying our nation. And it's getting us into a thermonuclear war, which we want no part of, and which our real military people want no part of either. There's no reason for a thermonuclear war. As a matter of fact, it will actually cause the extinction of the human species or something.
Anyway, that was long. Sorry about that. But
that's okay.
Haven't a lot of generals been fired or killed or whatever?
Yes, they have. Most of them have been fired, actually. They've been relieved of their commands.
Or charged with harassment and... I think there's a case going on right now. I don't know if that is that a general?
There's been so many. Hasn't there been like a dozen or so?
You've had generals moved and asked to resign and everything else.
What if these guys aren't going along with the plan? So they're gotten rid of.
Yeah. And just like those people who, you know, these soldiers who have been discharged and now they're being declared mentally unstable. For what reason? So they can't have firearms.
Wow. You know, when you look at all of this and you connect the dots, it's kind of overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, stop and think, too, that a lot of this started when right after President Obama started making the world apology tour.
The world apology tour?
You remember that? Not long after he came into office, he's all over the world apologizing for the U.S.
Interesting.
Apologizing for the way that we've done things and that he's going to make the United States a kinder, friendlier place. And next thing you know, the Middle East goes nuts. Countries who have basically been at stalemates with each other are now aggressively going after one another. Look at Russia. What's Russia doing all of a sudden?
The return of the Cold War.
Do what?
I said that we've got the return of the Cold War.
I don't know if I'd want to call it a Cold War right now.
Well, it just seems a throwback to 1985, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Putin has grown a big set of brass cojones. Okay?
Why?
Because, you know, it didn't happen under the first Bush. It didn't happen under Clinton. It didn't happen under the second Bush. What's the predominant factor?
Well, it's that our president doesn't know what he's doing and everybody knows it.
In fact, if you look at the turmoil that is going on in the world, you haven't seen this kind of crap since when? Jimmy Carter.
Mm.
And what did Jimmy Carter do? He shunned all of our allies and kissed every dictator on the lips. What has Obama done?
Just about everything that you can possibly think of.
That's it. I mean, you know, and unfortunately, and I don't mean to hijack your show, Sue.
Oh, please do.
But unfortunately, the American population is not going to do anything.
No.
Until they have been beaten down so much that they get tired of it.
And even then, I don't know, Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, that's a good point. Well, I know we got way off on different tangents, but I really enjoyed it. But let me just read a couple of the Henoch prophecies from the Billy Meier case.
Sure.
And how this all fits in. Let me read probably the most important prophecy in Contact 215. It says, far in the west, it will be different. The United States of America will be a country of total destruction, but not even all the terrible happenings will hinder the USA in continuing to proceed with her actions against all countries, even when the North American continent will be stricken by the most terrible catastrophe which has ever been recorded. Evil military powers will wreak havoc with computerized nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons, whereby it will also happen that computerized weapons will become independent and cannot be controlled any longer by human beings. Now, listen to what that just said. The North American continent will be stricken with the most terrible catastrophe which has ever been recorded. And then it goes on to describe nuclear, biological, chemical weapons being used by computerized systems that will run outside of the control of human beings. Mm. So anyway, incredible stuff.
Yeah.
Shocking. I didn't plan for the show to go this way. It was very interesting.
No, interesting the way that it progressed.
But Mark, real quick, let me tell you where the bottom line is, and I'll tell you why they're so successfully getting away with so much of this. Because, like you know, it's right here in the news. Read it. It's right here in front of us every day. There are things that if you just take a minute and read it, you're going, what the hell?
Yeah.
Okay? We suffer from one major problem in this country. And kids do it. Adults do it. You heard it on September 10th, 2001. Oh, that'll never happen to us.
Yeah.
Yep.
And folks, if you don't think it can't happen, you know, 10 years ago, we were laughing at some of these conspiracy theorists.
Right.
Today, we're actually seeing what they predicted coming true.
Yep.
Now they make new predictions and you go, oh, he's an idiot. Huh?
Well, you know what's so strange about all this is how the public is in such a daze. You know, we have three raging nuclear meltdowns going on in Japan that literally threatens all the life on the planet. And only thing people can talk about is the big basketball games this weekend, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
What's wrong with people? I don't get it.
Or one of the latest stupid reality shows.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, I really think, guys, that I hear it all the time. I can't talk about this anymore. It makes my head hurt. I don't want to talk about it anymore. But people forget that there are folks, especially, you can go to Washington, and that's what these people talk about all day.
Mm-hmm.
They're not slowing down.
So do you think they'll bring in some kind of economic collapse first?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Got to take away our money first.
First, you're going to have to take away people's money, and people don't realize that we are not on the gold standard anymore. Haven't been for many years. So the collapse of the dollar, all we're doing now is our wealth is essentially nothing more than numbers on paper. That's all it is. We're no longer moving gold from place to place. We're just changing numbers in a ledger.
Did you know that a bank can loan out 12 times the amount of money that it actually has?
Yeah.
Don't you wish we could do that?
Oh, yeah. I wish we could run our finances the way the government runs its country.
Well, some people do, but then they end up with really horrible credit.
And if you ever study what happened in 2008 with the financial meltdown and all the bailouts, that was done to keep the entire society from collapsing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's that bad. So we just bought a little time.
Now, but wait. I have to argue that point with you. Did you not notice, Mark, that was a created dilemma? Because if you notice, they said, we have to pass a stimulus bill, and suddenly corporations who had 6 months earlier been posting record profits, who were talking about expanding their companies, suddenly weren't going to be able to make it till Christmas if they didn't get money.
Did it? I'm no financial guru, so I'm not an expert in this area. But didn't it have a lot to do with the all those loans for houses that went bad, and then they were resold and resold?
Because they were stimulating the market.
Yeah, Barney Frank's Affordable Housing Act. And what happened was they took a crisis and just made this thing happen. Because, Mark, I know you guys have lived through housing bubbles before.
Oh, yeah.
They're nothing more than we built too many houses for people. There's not enough people to buy them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it takes about 6 to 12 months, and market straightens out, and life goes on. Because when the housing bubble popped, oh, my God, the country's going to go, we're by Friday, we're not going to be... We're not going to be a country anymore. Yet I'm driving around looking at all the new warehouses being built, business parks being built, shopping centers being built. What?
What is that financial? It's something that they begins with a D. It's basically a bet. They bet on how these markets are going to go.
Oh, hedge funds.
The hedge funds, that's part of it, but there's another, gosh, the term is gone away from me now. Shoot, I wish I knew off the top of my head. It begins with a D, I think, and it's just basically a wager on something going to... I don't know how all these things really work in the real world, but it's one of those kinds of things that have caused this tremendous debt. I mean, GM went out of business, basically, and was propped up. AIG, they went out of business and was propped up. All, like, 3 or 4 of the major banks also went belly up.
But see, that's what I'm saying, though, Mark. Prior to GM getting all this money, there was no talk of GM going belly up.
Hmm.
Not that I ever saw.
Hmm.
There was no talk of Chrysler going belly up.
Chrysler got loans too, didn't they?
Yeah, Ford, to the best of my knowledge, Ford was the only car company that didn't take money.
Wow. So basically, our major businesses are now subsidized by the government.
Yeah, yep. Regions Bank, I have it directly from Regions Bank. They were told by the Secretary of Treasury they had to come up. The Treasury told them either you come up with $200 million more dollars or you're going to have to take this money. 24 hours later, they called up and said, okay, take your money and walk. I think Regions Banking was one of them that didn't take any of the TARP money.
Hmm.
But there were hundreds of billions of dollars that went to European banks.
That's right. So you're saying that was an intentional transfer of wealth?
Yeah, and Bernanke, sitting before the Senate hearings, was asked, where did this money go? And he essentially told him, sorry, none of your damn business. I watched it, jeez, word for word. I can't tell you, it's none of your business.
You know what it is the American public's in shock. They're literally in shock. And the people that are, some people are so much in shock, they can't pay attention anymore.
Well, to kind of bring it full circle to where we started, the American public is fed what they want us to know. So unless you physically go and search out this information, you're not going to know it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a firm believer that our mainstream media has gone away from being facts to being op-eds.
Oh, yeah. It's all.
It's all it is. Yeah. That's why I tell people, find something that interests you, find a half a dozen or so stories on it from different sources, and find the common thread.
Yep.
Right. And Sue, people like you are part of the heroes, the unsung heroes in the alternative community that are taking the time and the effort to do shows like this to get this kind of information out to the public.
Well, I tell you what, I always end up talking about ghosts, but this is a really enjoyable show tonight.
Yeah, and the sad part is people listen to the show and go, oh, yeah, this bunch of conspiracy.
Well,
all conspiracy are plans that people can't exactly put their finger on.
There's truth in every story.
Yeah, there's truth in a lot of it.
Yeah.
Well, guys,
I had fun.
Next time, we'll have to talk more about Billy Meyer, yes. And I also would like to produce transhumanism. That would be excellent.
It definitely is, and I'm really looking forward to that. We'll have to schedule something. Everybody, Mark, where can people find you?
If they Google Ohio Exopolitics, they can find my main site, which is www.exopoliticsohio.us. I'm on Revolution Radio on Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. If they go to Freedom Slips or freedomslips, same thing, .com, and go to Studio B at 8 p.m. Eastern. And on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, I'm on Blog Talk Radio. And if they Google again Ohio Exopolitics, they should be able to find all those things.
Excellent. Daryl?
Yes?
Where can people find you, my dear?
Next to your heart.
Oh, my goodness.
No, everybody can catch me. If you want more of me, you can catch my outrageous podcast on Spreaker.com. It's Think Out Loud Radio. And if you want to catch me a little more sedated, join me and Uncle Bill every morning, Monday through Friday, between 8 and 10 Central, 9 and 11 Eastern, on BNNS Internet Radio for the morning coffee hour.
And Jay Kettle?
You can find me at dostation.com. Yeah, we do. We just put a podcast there. So we have 45 episodes up now, so that's plenty of material for you to get through, and we'll have a new one up soon. So,
excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you, all of you. And stay tuned to The Blurred Line. Check out the blog, blurredlineradio.com. Obviously, you found the podcast. If you have any suggestions for subjects, guests, whatever, email me at blurredlineradio@gmail.com, and I will be happy to accommodate. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you to all of the new podcast listeners. Thanks for downloading. Have a wonderful evening and good night.